6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Tuesday, February 8, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Our open line number is 844-769-2944. If you don't have that saved in your phone, I think you need it, especially if you've got any medical questions that you have for our next guest here on the show. He's got two websites out there that you need to be aware of, and we've also published his COVID Care Over-the-Counter Prevention and Treatment ebook on thepowerhour.com. So that's one of the reasons why. You want solutions, and we're giving them to you. This is the thing. You know, people always wait till the last minute to get treated. They think they can beat this themselves. And I told you in our first hour about the fella that is a friend of a friend who went to a convention down in New Orleans and came home and realized, I don't feel too good. Oh, I can fight it out. I ain't worried about it. Didn't take anything. Didn't call anybody. It ended up being full-blown COVID. 8 days later, he was dead. They opened up his brain during an autopsy, and it looked like part of his brain had become detached from his skull and settled down into the base of his skull. It wasn't pretty. And so, you know, we tell people, don't go and try and fight this thing on your own. The thing is that if you trust modern medicine, as Dr. Syed Haider, who's going to be joining us here in a quick second, is going to tell you, these people have a different agenda than what you think. You just want to get better. Oh, no. They got a different agenda. They want you to wait until you have an oxygen level below 90 and your lips are turning blue, and then they want to put you on a ventilator, shoot you up with remdesivir, and put you on a ventilator, and all this fluid is in your lungs as your kidneys are shutting down and you die. And the hospitals are being incentivized monetarily to kill you. So it's not safe to do this. A friend of ours just put her mom in the hospital and realized, oh, my God, what have I done? The hospital won't let her out. She died, not of COVID, though. She died of sepsis. Why did it take them so long to treat her? That's what I want to know. Dr. Haider, welcome back to the Power Hour, sir. I understand a lot of people have used your service since you've been on the last time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, it's great to be back, and I'm glad that some of your listeners actually signed up, and you told me you signed up, which is great. I just want to extend kind of a special offer to Power Hour listeners. So, you know, the issue with finding a doctor is that most doctors don't have any availability. So if you're a Power Hour listener, just let us know. If you do get sick, tell my staff that Dr. Haider said that we can actually get in to see him, and he'll make room for us in the schedule, and he'll evaluate us while we're actually sick. That my practice is pretty much closed to new patients who are actually acutely ill. So I think some of you, you know, the listeners who have signed up, you'll see that I ask if you have symptoms right now. And if you do, the intake form says, sorry, you can't continue because we're closed to new patients who are actually sick right now. We're trying to treat as many patients as possible we're trying to prescribe patients medications before they get sick. And that's what we're currently, you know, focusing on really heavily. We're trying to get medications into people's medicine cabinets and tell them all the directions so they know what to do when they get sick. But if they're actually sick right now, then, you know, I'm not actually, you know, able to talk to a lot of people because it's just so busy and there's just so few, you know, physicians in the country who are actually able to do this. But again, if you're a Power Hour listener, just let us know, and tell my staff that Dr. Haider said he will take care of me, and he'll evaluate my symptoms if I do get sick. And that's a special offer. I've actually never given it out to anyone, any other show before. But I just want, it's just a thank you, you know, for putting me on the air and helping me spread the word on this. You know, I'll just fit you in somehow. If you need to talk to somebody, let us know.
Well, and see, Dr. Haider, this is one of the reasons why I signed up, because I guess I could be like the guinea pig for all of our Power Hour listeners. I actually wanted to see how fast your staff reacts. And I'm telling you, Irene and everybody in the front office there just jumped all over this thing. I went to mygotodoc.com and got in that way. And you can actually, if you download the ebook, it's in PDF and it has a link there. DrSyedHaider.com also is another good website you can go to. And literally, it'll put you right in touch with a form that you can basically fill in right there. And pick your protocol. There's three of them there on the website. Dr. Heider, would you please explain what those three protocols are?
Yeah, so basically the first protocol that I've used the most in more than 30,000 people at this point is you take ivermectin twice a week to prevent getting COVID-19. And unfortunately, that protocol has been getting less and less effective the more virulent the virus has become. So the virus is getting more and more contagious and more infectious. And so that protocol with alpha variant, I never saw anyone catch the virus when they took it. And back then, they only had to take it once every 2 weeks, ivermectin. And then we had to go up to once every week because there were some breakthrough infections, and then that worked really well. And then we had to increase it to twice a week. And now we're on twice a week ivermectin. It's still very effective, but there are breakthrough infections. So for that reason, I also send people home with all the drugs they would need for an acute infection. So if you actually get sick, then you need daily ivermectin, and I would recommend you definitely have budesonide on hand. It's a steroid inhaler, has some great studies. Fluvoxamine, 12 times lower risk of death in the phase 3 trial in patients who took fluvoxamine. So I send people home with that. And then an anti-inflammatory pravastatin, I add that as well for most people. And again, these are all kind of tailored to each person's personal medical problems, you know, past medical history, their medications, their allergies. So we might need to switch out, you know, one thing for something else if you have an issue with certain medications. The other thing that I've just recently added is hydroxychloroquine, because it seems that that's, you know, before with earlier variants, we could use either hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. And I thought ivermectin was kind of like the best option. You know, it had the most data and great data and even safer than hydroxychloroquine. So I just figured I would just use that and build the backbone of the protocol on that. But now with Omicron, we're seeing that Omicron is starting to evade ivermectin a little bit. I think you can still treat it really well with just ivermectin, but it helps to add hydroxychloroquine to the protocol with ivermectin. And it makes it even better and even more effective. So I've added that now just recently. The third one is basically the long haul COVID protocol. So, and this is based on the FLCCC kind of iRecover protocol to treat long haul COVID. I actually give a little bit higher doses and a little bit longer doses of ivermectin in that protocol than the FLCCC does, but it includes prednisone as well. So I would avoid prednisone or steroids in the first week unless you're severely sick, unless your oxygen drops and you're in the hospital or something like that. The second week onwards, prednisone can be very helpful. So in the first week, you don't want to have it interfere with your broad-spectrum immunity because the virus is multiplying. You want your immune system to be top-notch as possible to prevent the virus from multiplying as much as possible and to kill it as much as possible. In the second week, you're dealing with inflammation. You know, you're not dealing with actively replicating virus anymore. So in the second week and onwards, if you develop long COVID, that's when prednisone becomes very helpful. We also use low-dose naltrexone now for long-haul COVID. And Vascepa is a high-dose kind of prescription-strength omega-3 supplement, which has anti-inflammatory and blood-thinning effects. So we do add that also for long COVID patients. So the long COVID protocol includes the ivermectin and fluvoxamine as well, and then these other medications. So we're really trying to cover all our bases. And I think, you know, like in your introduction, you were saying, you know, you shouldn't wait until the last minute. You should take this seriously. And I just want to double down on that and tell people that long COVID is a really big problem for people who think that they're low risk for COVID in general. It's the highest risk people are 30 to 55. And especially the 30-year-olds out there, I mean, they think that they're invincible and that COVID can't get them, you know, most of them. And I have to tell you that it may not, you know, put you in the hospital or kill you, but you have a really high risk of developing this long COVID. It's not an infection, it's an inflammatory condition, a chronic inflammatory condition that can just wipe people out. It can cause severe fatigue, it can cause severe brain fog, it can make it hard to work or go to school. It very, very rarely happens under 20. It's extremely rare. I've actually never seen it under 10. I've seen it very, very rarely in teenagers. But really, everyone should take this seriously to prevent it progressing and also to prevent long COVID from happening. And the other thing that I would just caution people about is the 1918 flu pandemic lasted about 3 years. So it was really the 1918 through 1920 flu pandemic. And the same with COVID. I mean, we've seen every time we think that it's over, it's got something in, you know, developing and cooking on the back burner that then comes a few months later and surprises everyone. So, you know, we're a couple of years into this. I don't think it's over yet. And part of why it's not over is probably the way Gert Vandenbosch describes the fact that we're vaccinating people in the midst of a pandemic, we're driving the evolution of the virus to become more and more contagious, and it may actually become more severe at the same time. So Omicron kind of took a step down in severity, a step up in infectiousness, but we could be, you know, developing a new variant out there that's as bad as Delta and as infectious as Omicron, or worse even. And so that's really the concern that people should be ready for. And the other really concerning thing is that breakthrough infections for naturally immune people are happening now. So I had the virus 2 years ago at the very start, and then I just got Omicron. And I've heard it from a lot of other physicians. I've heard it from a lot of patients that they were immune for 2 years, and they thought they were, you know, they were sitting pretty, and they thought that they were safe. And then Omicron comes around, and they got infected, even though they were naturally immune, which, I mean, I think that's the gold standard of immunity. And I do believe that if you get infected a second time after having been infected once, you're not going to get as sick. You know, so you're definitely protected, you know, in that sense, but the infection may still affect you. And you could still be at risk for some long COVID, especially if you had long COVID before. So there are some serious concerns still around COVID. I think we're not all the way through it yet.
Right. Now, 844-769-2944 is the number to call. I know you've got a question out there. I've got one right now because I know somebody that has just come down with it. They got two jabs. They got the Moderna. Two of them, and they've come down with it. Their son had it, and now he's come down with it. And what does he do? He calls, you know, and he was, you know, is alert enough to tell us what's happening. He's at the drugstore getting a prescription for a Z-Pak and some prednisone from his family doctor. And I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, you know, we have this show out there, and we're giving out all this information and trying to tell people. And I don't know about these mainstream doctors' protocols in treating this like it's a flu bug. Is there a downside to that, doctor?
Yeah, like I was saying before, if you give prednisone in the first week, you're just suppressing your own immune system. You know, it's a broad-spectrum immunosuppressant, and that's really not what you want to do unless it's kind of like a last-ditch effort. If you're so sick that your oxygen is, you know, dropping precipitously, or if you're in the hospital, you know, then we go ahead and just throw high-dose steroids at you because, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a Hail Mary. I mean, there's nothing left to do. You just have to do it. But if you're not super sick, and most of my patients in the first week aren't that sick, then you would want to avoid the steroid because you're actually going to make yourself higher risk for developing long COVID because you're suppressing your immune response to the virus. In that first week, you want your immune system in tip-top shape. You want to take the vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, zinc. You want to be, in the first few days, be taking hydrogen peroxide mouthwashes and gargles and nose rinses. So it's a diluted hydrogen peroxide mouthwash. That's in the ebook. You dilute it down to 1% from 2%, which is usually what they sell in the grocery store or the pharmacy. And that's incredibly effective. So that, you know, all those things, they boost your immune system. They help your immune system get rid of the virus, kill the virus in the first week. So I would seriously avoid, you know, the Z-Pak's probably not going to hurt you. It does have some antiviral effects. I don't think it's necessary with most protocols. Like with my protocol, I don't think it's a absolutely necessary component to add the Z-Pak because we've already got a bunch of antivirals. We've got the hydroxychloroquine, we've got the ivermectin, the quercetin, and the zinc. All these things are antiviral. But, you know, if people are dead set, you know, doc, I really want a Z-Pak, it'll make me feel better, I go ahead and do prescribe it. It's special request for some people who have read other protocols that include it, especially. So I don't mind adding the Z-Pak. But the prednisone, I would, you know, take serious precautions against. And that means having a real protocol from somebody who's done this for the last year and is an expert and knows what they're doing, instead of these doctors who really have no idea what they're doing. They're just giving you something to make you feel better. Their idea with the prednisone is to suppress your symptoms, but at the same time, they're suppressing your immune system. The symptoms come from your immune system's response. The other thing, just to build on what you were saying, you know, with vaccinated people, I'm a bit concerned, you know, because there's some data coming out showing that, you know, 3 months, 2 or 3 months after a vaccine, you actually might have a negative response. Like you might actually be more prone to catch COVID and have negative outcomes. And this is something that hasn't really been looked at in the mainstream. And certainly the CDC and the FDA are not talking about it. But Dr. Zelenko, you know, who was made famous in the beginning of the pandemic, he has actually tweeted out or he published something on Telegram saying that in Israel, he's heard that the morgues are full, and it's primarily young people. You know, and Israel is the most vaccinated country in the world. I mean, I think they're on their fourth or fifth shot now. And this is very concerning. You know, you're having people who have been vaccinated dying, And there's this concern for, you know, a worse infection, you know, a more severe reaction after a vaccine, especially after the first couple of months. And, you know, if you get the booster, supposedly, you know, it helps. A month later, you have a little bit of a better response to infection. But you add another month to that, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's some data coming out showing that the response may be negative. You may actually be at higher risk after vaccination. So, unfortunately, we have millions of Americans who've been vaccinated, and a lot of people got the first two doses, and they were like, you know, okay, great. You know, I trust the FDA. I've trusted them my whole life. And now they're starting to wake up to the fact that, hey, this doesn't make any sense. And are we going to get boosters every 6 months for the rest of our lives? And for those people also, you know, I think you need to have meds on hand in your medicine cabinet and know what to do.
Right. Well, and see, the reason I bring that up, Dr. Heider, is because we had Dr. Edward Group, who's also in your area, on the show, and he was talking about supercharged C60 carbon, and he basically has indicated that you can take this stuff, and it basically cleans your system out of all the junk that they gave you in the jab, including the nanotechnology. What do you know about supercharged C60 carbon?
You know, this is the first time I'm hearing it. You know, I'm going to go look it up after our call. I think that's incredible, you know, because a lot of people, this is a big problem. A lot of people have realized that, hey, I don't know what I injected myself with, you know, especially when you start looking at the bad batches. Like, what if I got a bad batch of the vaccine? You know, you look up, I don't remember, there's a website now where you can actually go and look up your batch of the vaccine and see whether it's one of the batches that had, you know, a much, much higher rate, you know, hundreds of times higher rate of adverse events and deaths. You know, and why is that? I don't know. I mean, no one's really explained it yet. You know, the FDA and the CDC and the vaccine companies, they're just not touching this with a 10-foot pole. It's a radioactive topic no one wants to discuss. But we need to have answers. Why are some batches, you know, associated with such high levels of side effects? And if you got one of those, then definitely you need to look at somehow, you know, cleansing yourself of whatever's in it, right? And even for the future, right? I mean, in the news, there was just this item about a Marine who just died right after Hell Week, right? They go through this, you know, hellish week of, you know, almost human torture, you know, that they put them through when they first, you know, to determine if somebody's going to go ahead and become a Marine. And so this guy was, you know, these people are in tip-top shape, right? And this was an ex-football player. So he died after Hell Week, and this doesn't happen very often, but the same thing that we're seeing on football fields, right, people just toppling over dead when they exert themselves, maybe years after having a vaccine shot. So that's a serious concern. These vaccines are going to be in you for the rest of your life, and some of these ingredients, they don't leave your body, right? So you do need to do something. So I'm glad you turned me on to that. I'll look it up.
Yeah, that's Dr. Edward Group, Group, by the way, that has a website, I'm sure, that that's Global Healing Products. And he swears that this stuff will rid your system of it. And I certainly would like to see our front line take a look at this thing and study it and see whether or not this is legit, because we have put out pre-orders for this, because it's $179.99 for a bottle of the stuff in capsule form. And so we're taking pre-orders for it. Obviously, we are very budget conscious when it comes to ordering certain products. He swears by it, and I'm like, okay, let's get some frontline doctors tuned into this supercharged C60 carbon and find out whether or not, you know, what they know and if they can work together. Because I'll tell you what, these frontline doctors are just impressing the living daylights out of me. We, as a matter of fact, are going to be having Clay Clark back on our show next Tuesday talking about the upcoming Canton, Ohio event, where there are numerous frontline doctors, including Dr. Zelenko, Peter McCullough. I mean, they're literally traveling all over, spreading the news, just like you are on this show, Dr. Heider. And we appreciate the fact that you've treated over 35,000 patients. 4,000 of them have active infections, zero deaths, five hospitalizations, and I've already explained what those were from. And a lot of them is because they waited too long. And so the whole idea is now there's a new thing coming out. I want you to talk about this. Go ahead and comment first, and then we'll get to the new thing.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that you have, when you're looking at those numbers, you know, 35,000 and 4,000, at this point, I think it's closer to 5,000 treated, you have to ask yourself how many would have been hospitalized, how many would have died if they had done nothing. And so I've run the numbers. It would have been more than 300 hospitalizations if nothing was done. and more than five deaths if nothing was done, right? So that's, you know, the go home and wait until you can't breathe model of COVID care versus doing something early and getting treatment early. And again, like you said before, the five hospitalizations, they were actually people who didn't start treating early. They started treating late. But even then, you know, a lot of people did end up treating a little bit late, but they still did much better, you know, because we had very few hospitalizations compared to what you would have expected.
Right, no doubt. And so now this is the other thing, too. We were talking about medical racism before we started the show. And one of the things that the Biden administration is implementing, they're basically saying, hey, well, this is what we need to do. We're only going to give monoclonal antibodies to those who aren't white. And I'm like, excuse me? You know, so Tromavab, this is something new that you are bringing out now. Could you go into detail on this new situation that you're doing?
Yeah, so Tromavab, it's the only monoclonal antibody that is thought to be effective against the Omicron variant. So the other monoclonal antibodies, they've had their emergency use authorizations revoked. So I don't think that it's absolutely necessary as a treatment if you take all the off-label drugs. But some patients, again, they just want to throw everything at it. They want a prescription for a monoclonal, and I go ahead and prescribe it. You know, our practice is colorblind. I mean, I grew up in America back when we thought that being colorblind was the way to be, you know, anti-racist. To not be racist was not to consider race, right? to consider other things. And this, you know, considering race for the FDA or for state healthcare departments is actually unconstitutional and illegal. They can't do it. So there are, you know, Utah and Minnesota had, you know, guidelines saying that, you know, if you were non-white, if you were non-Caucasian, if you were Hispanic, African-American, Asian, you know, anything other than Caucasian, you know, that you would be at the head of the line, basically, for monoclonal antibodies. And the issue is that these antibodies, the Tromavab, is in limited, extremely limited supplies. There are not a lot of them to go around, so there are not enough, basically, right? And
wow. And
those two states, Utah and Minnesota, they were actually, you know, threatened to be sued, so they changed that policy. New York still has it live. They're still using it.
That's amazing. We're going to be back with Dr. Syed Haider right after the break, taking your questions, 844-769-2944. I want to see those phones light up, folks. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We'll be back right after a short break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Paramol began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
It's 11:30 or 12:31. What am I saying here? I'm almost, I'm an hour shy here all of a sudden. I just like repeating myself. 12:31 here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you, and we have Dr. Syed Haider. No, it's not long COVID, folks. I'm just stretching a break. We have progress going on this neck of the woods out here where I'm at. And, you know, just ignore those little slight noises you might hear over the microphone. But, yeah, we're in progress here. We were talking earlier, and I actually have a quote from Dr. Syed Haider. Racism has no place in medicine. And we were talking before the break about the monoclonal antibody sotrovimab. Could you give us a little bit more detail about this and about the ethical situation of you now prescribing that?
Yeah, so, you know, so like I was saying before, I will prescribe this, and I've never in my career, you know, looked at somebody and said, I'm going to prescribe this or that or put you at the head of the line because you're African-American or you're Asian or you're Hispanic or you're white even, right? And that's how I grew up. I mean, I grew up in Florida, and that's how I was raised, right? And I think that's how most of us were raised in this country, to basically be colorblind and not to consider somebody's race. You know, I mean, for decades now, we've had it. It's even, you know, it's the law, right? You're not allowed to consider somebody's race when you're deciding whether to hire them or whether to fire them or whether to put them in your rental home or whether to give them medication or treatment. And so the idea is that the FDA thinks that, you know, there's something going on. There's some systemic racism that's been around for hundreds of years that has led to African Americans having worse outcomes with COVID. That's the idea. And I would say that the research that's been done on this, it's very mixed, you know, in terms of what it's found. And it's also heavily biased, you know, depending on what time period you choose to look at. It's kind of, you can cherry pick the data. And also, there's a lot of confounding variables, right? So, like, some groups might be older and some groups might be, you know, for example, I've traveled around the country, worked in hospitals everywhere. And, you know, I'll go to a hospital system and every single nurse there is Filipino, or like 99% of them are Filipino. They're frontline healthcare workers. And if that community has a bunch of white people, you know, Caucasians who are bankers and they're working from home during the pandemic, they're going to be much less likely, obviously, to get COVID, right? Especially in the beginning of the outbreak in that community. The Filipino nurses are going to be in the front lines. They're going to get it. And so if you take a snapshot in time, you're going to see that, oh, you know, for some reason, Filipinos are catching COVID at higher rates than Caucasians. And you can turn that into a study and you can publish it and become famous. And that's what these researchers have in their mind, that, hey, I'm going to use identity politics to create a name for myself. But that doesn't mean that, you know, being Filipino somehow makes you higher risk for catching the virus. You know, it means that if you're a nurse, you're higher risk, which everyone already knew. You know, it doesn't add anything to our data. And so that's the problem with, you know, these racial breakdowns in how, who we choose to give monoclonal antibodies. I think there is just a confounding variable, and it's an association that we found, and it's not causative. And so just to pick one study, a huge study done in California, they studied 3.5 million people. And in that study, non-Caucasians had higher rates of hospitalization, but actually the Caucasians had higher rates of death, like three times higher than the Asians. Like, so the white people in that 3.5 million patient cohort were actually dying at much higher rates. I mean, so if anything, you would think that if we're going to choose to, you know, give somebody, you know, put somebody at the head of the line, it would be the Caucasians, because they're actually dying from this more. But again, I think that the research is just heavily biased, and there's too many confounding variables, and it's not really about race. it might be other things, right? Like it might be the Caucasians in that sample were older, sicker, maybe they had more comorbidities, or, you know, and why were the, you know, non-Caucasians being admitted more to the hospital? Maybe they have lower vitamin D levels on average. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be so many different things. But you treat those things, right? You all you have to do at the end of the day in medicine is look at the patient in front of you and see, you know, if it's a young, healthy black man versus, you know, an extremely sick white man, and you only have one dose of monoclonal antibodies to give one of these two people, then you give it to the older, sick white gentleman because the young, healthy black man is he has no risk from the virus. So we don't have to take into account what their race is, right? We just have to take into account the known comorbidities that, you know, increase your risk from COVID-19, age, you know, past medical history of, you know, diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, you know, et cetera, all of that stuff. So those are the important variables.
Okay. Tim in Louisiana, you are on the phone with Dr. Syed Haider. Welcome to the Power Hour. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good, Dad. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What can we do for you? What's on your mind?
Well, what I'm talking about is I'm talking about that T60. I wouldn't advise anybody to take that stuff because once it gets into your body, you can't get it out. And people have taken that T60. It worked all right at the beginning, but the end is very bad.
How so?
Well, I don't know, but they had a tape where the guy was a weightlifter, and he started taking it and started building him up. But after a few months, they started tearing him down. It was real, real bad for him.
Okay. Dr. Haider, what say you?
I just want to jump in here, and I just have to say that sometimes when you have, you know, say you have a toxin in your body. Once you actually mobilize the toxin and start to move it out of your body, you can oftentimes have like some negative reactions actually. And this people don't understand that they think that it's just going to be all hunky dory. I'm going to feel better. And you know, that's kind of magical thinking, right? Like you may have to go through kind of a phase where you actually feel kind of sick for maybe a couple of weeks as you're moving toxins out of your body. So toxins get stored in your fat. And when you start to move them into your bloodstream, you know, then you actually start to feel the effects of them. And as you start to urinate them out or, you know, poop them out or whatever it is, as you're getting them out of your body, on the way out, you may not always feel great. But if you can push through that phase, you know, where you're feeling worse, then you come out at the other end and you've gotten rid of them. And then you see the true benefit.
Right. And this is one of the reasons why, Tim, you know, I basically gave the Supercharged C60 contacts to Dr. Haider so he could check this out, because obviously, you know, we try to carry products on the show, and that's why we're looking at pre-orders here, and we try to carry products on the show that are safe, unlike what the jab is. They're safe and effective, supposedly safe and effective, but we have seen everybody who's gotten the jab, including people I personally know, have either dropped dead after 4 days of getting it based on an adverse event, an adverse reaction to it, or they have long-term effects because of it, or they all end up, like in Israel, they end up with COVID. So we appreciate your heads up on that, and thanks for your call. So the monoclonal antibody is, you know, that's a big thing now, and you're treating using sotrovimab. Is this any different from what they were giving, like in Florida and Texas, and the monoclonal centers that the governor set up there?
So it's the same idea. It's just a different one. So the ones that they were using back then, they were working against Delta, and the emergency use authorizations for those particular ones have been revoked because the data shows that they don't work for Omicron. So the only one available right now for Omicron is the sotrovimab, but it's the same idea. It works exactly the same way. It's just a different antibody, and it's more specific to the Omicron variant. And so if patients want a prescription, they actually have to be sick, right? So it's not something I can prescribe until you get sick, and you have to take it in the first 5 to 10 days. Really, I would say the first 5 days is when you're going to get the most bang for your buck, maybe the first 7 days, because it needs to be given while the virus is multiplying still. And instead of like later on when you just have inflammation in your body and the virus is dead, you want to actually prevent the virus from multiplying and try to kill the virus. And that's what the monoclonal antibody is good for. And then if people do want it, they have to request it. I mean, it's not something I just add automatically to everyone's protocol. So if your listeners want to have it, then just if you get sick, you know, get in touch on day one and just say, hey, I want a prescription for the monoclonal. Personally, you know, when I got sick, I didn't take the monoclonal antibody. I didn't give it to my family. I didn't give it to my dad, who's really high risk. I just gave him the meds, you know, because I've seen them work in tens of thousands of people. They're so effective.
Right. I believe that. Bob in Missouri, you're on the phone with Dr. Syed Haider. How are you?
Hi, good. Doctor, you were talking about, you know, there can be some ill effects when you're cleaning out your body, so to speak, you know, and it's called a healing crisis.
Right.
And, you know, whole basis mm-hmm. of cult, pardon me?
No, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, go ahead.
And whole cultures have been built around it. Like in India, they got all kinds of things where they're cleaning out their body using gourds with water going up their butts. You know, it's called enemas today. You know, every culture, they know this. And we used to be that way, too. There used to be coffee enemas given to people in the 1900s and stuff like that. It was very prevalent. But you never hear anything about that anymore. But you got to realize when you do that, you're releasing the poisons that are making you sick. You know, you're going to open up those venues, and it's going to come out of you, and so there might be something called a healing crisis, and that's to be expected. And, you know, doctor, could I say something?
Sure.
Hello? One thing,
yeah, go.
One thing
go
I don't
it.
Like. Hello?
Go ahead, Bob.
One thing I don't like is, you know, Western medicine being very symptomatic. It's like if you have a cold, they give you stuff to, you know, stop the cold and stuff, your running nose and stuff like that, but really that's your body trying to get rid of something that's toxic in it. So it's preventing that from happening. That could turn into something much worse, like, say, whatever it is. You got a runny nose or whatever it is. If you're constipated or something, you got to get it out of you. So that's one way I'd like to see Western medicine go towards, is more of a holistic instead of the symptomatic, because symptomatic is basically pharmaceuticals, drugs. It's a matter of just getting rid of the pain, but not getting rid of it. It's like having a you know, a yard full of weeds, but, you know, you'll cut the weeds off, you know, with your lawnmower, but those weeds, roots are still in the grass, are going to keep on coming back. So I think we need something to get underneath the grass and clean up the body, and that's what a lot of our cultures were based on until the pharmaceutical companies took over.
So what do you think about that?
I'm totally on board with that point of view. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I've actually, you know, I have a background in functional medicine and Chinese medicine, even Ayurvedic medicine. I've worked with Ayurvedic practitioners heavily. And I completely agree with this. I've actually seen a particular Ayurvedic practitioner that I know treat cancer with a version of the Gerson juicing protocol, he also uses the coffee enemas heavily. So I completely agree that we should not be focusing on just suppressing symptoms. And getting back to the prednisone, that's the idea of prednisone, is to suppress symptoms. So even with the budesonide steroid inhaler, I tend to recommend that people use it only if they start to have, you know, cough, shortness of breath, wheezing, or low oxygen, or they see their oxygen starting to trend down. It is targeted, you know, to the lungs. And the idea of the steroid inhaler is that we saw that patients who were asthmatics, who you'd think would be highest risk for COVID, actually had better outcomes. And the reason was because they were using oftentimes a steroid inhaler every day, whether or not they had symptoms of asthma. They were on a chronic steroid inhaler, and it prevented the lungs from getting wiped out by the virus. So, you know, with Western medicine, there's kind of like a, you know, a give and take, and there's pluses and minuses, and each medication you have to weigh the risk versus the benefits. So with ivermectin, I would say the benefit so far outweighs the risk. I mean, it's the safest drug I've seen in my career. It's safer than aspirin, Tylenol, anything else. I can easily recommend it for COVID. You know, it'll kill the virus without killing you, right, without harming you or causing side effects. And then every other medication, there's a little bit more risk tacked on to using it. You know, it's still very, everything in the protocol is very beneficial, but there's going to be higher and higher levels of risk with all of them, right? Even hydroxychloroquine, slightly riskier than ivermectin. I think it's still extremely safe and well-tolerated. I wouldn't think twice about using it. But if you're comparing apples, you know, and oranges, yeah, I would say that these are two different drugs, and one is slightly riskier. And again, fluvoxamine, a little bit riskier. You know, there's a little bit higher risk of side effects. Same with the budesonide. I think that you are risking having a little bit of immunosuppression in your lungs if you're going to take it from day one or even before that, to prevent getting worse from COVID. So you got to kind of like take each patient individually and see like how high risk of a patient is this? how much am I concerned about COVID, the infection causing them to end up in the hospital or dying, right? Like if it's an 80-year-old patient with asthma or, you know, COPD or something, I'm going to be extremely, you know, cautious and try to give them everything possible to keep them alive, right? Even though there may be a slight drawback to some of these treatments. But in terms of getting rid of chronic issues, yes, the body kind of puts toxins into like a box and tries to like hide them away and seal them up so that you don't suffer from them, you know, as much as possible. So it locks them into fat cells. It kind of sequesters them. And if you want to get rid of them, you know, it's impossible to have no symptoms at all from some of these toxins. They're always going to possibly be leaking out at a very low level, but you're going to have, you know, some problem with your health, some chronic condition. But if you want to get rid of that chronic condition, you sometimes have to go through this ring of fire, a little bit of discomfort while you're getting rid of the toxin, and certainly that's a healing crisis. And you're right. Many cultures have utilized healing crises, you know, the Indians, the Chinese, and even the Americans, right? Before, you know, modern medicine, the era of modern medicine, we understood that the toxins are coming out, you know, and you don't want to dry up a cold. You know, you want to let the nose run. You want to get it out and let it come out. So I do encourage people to try to avoid just simply symptomatic treatment with no end goal of actually benefiting you, right? When you're just treating the symptoms and you're not actually treating the infection itself. But with the COVID treatment protocols, we're oftentimes doing both hand in hand. You're preventing the symptoms from occurring instead of just stopping the symptoms, and you're preventing future problems like long COVID. So, for example, some people use steroid nasal inhalers during COVID because they're trying to prevent loss of smell that could last for months or years, right? So that will suppress the runny nose or the stuffy nose or whatever's going on in your nose. It'll suppress the symptoms. But at the same time, it may give you a bit of a better outcome later on in the long run. So, you know, things in medicine are complicated sometimes. And if you want to take a fully natural approach, I would say, you know, go ahead and get the over-the-counter protocols. They work extremely well. And try to head off the symptom. You know, try to treat it really early before you get to the symptomatic part by killing the virus in the beginning with things like, you know, simple things like hydrogen peroxide, you know, nose rinse, mouthwash, and gargles every 3 hours. You know, for the first 3 to 5 days of the infection, or even start before the symptoms begin, right? Like start when you know that you got exposed. Omicron is so contagious that if you meet somebody who has Omicron, you know, you likely will get Omicron, right? It's pretty likely that you'll start to come down with something. So you can start doing these treatments before the symptoms occur and just really head them off.
Good point.
Can I make one more statement? We've been under, you know, the tyranny, actually, of the pharmaceutical company for many years now. And I think it's very close to what our political situation is. You know, it's all these politicals, they might look like there's a difference, but no, there is no difference at all between what I think between the parties, Democrat or Republican. But there's a tyranny that's been going on for a long time with these pharmaceuticals. And, you know, it's always like blasphemy to say that cancer or anything would be caused by just by natural causes, by what you eat and stuff like that, because they want you to all go towards radiation or chemo or whatever. So this tyranny, I wish you would be the head of this medical system, because we need an open mind, you know, open mind for everything else except what the tyrants want you to be doing. And so we need an open mind in terms of medicine and going back to the old, because it's new means nothing, okay? It's just progressive. That means, you know, that word, we can go into that, but, you know, we need an open mind. And a lot of what the old was much, much better than the new. Anyway, Doc, I wish you were running the show. Anyway, have a good weekend and be safe.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your call. All right. So the thing is, we're into this situation with do no harm. I think that was pretty clear from the last caller. And, you know, we don't want the government telling us what to do. We know, as I explained on the show earlier, Dr. Hyder, is that the FDA and Big Pharma, it's like a revolving door. Same with the CDC. All these people that are in Big Pharma are sitting on the boards of directors of them, and then all of a sudden they end up with the FDA, and they're on their boards, or they're an advisory committee, and they're all Big Pharma, and they're all out looking for the profit. And that's what I think has driven this entire charade. And yes, it's real. COVID is real. I'm not denying that. I'm not a COVID denier, but I'm a jab denier because of the fact that they have hidden all of these things, nanotechnology and all this garbage from us with all these undeclared ingredients, including graphene oxide. And, you know, people who are taking it, to me, are at greater risk for not only getting COVID, but death. And to me, that's a big problem. And you talk about do no harm. I mean, it's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I would just point, you know, especially people who are kind of on the fence or they think that this is crazy talk, you know, just look at the Pfizer trial itself. There was a 24% higher rate of death in the vaccine group, all-cause death, all-cause mortality, you know, whether or not it's from COVID or whatever. That's what's important at the end of the day, right? Like, if you take a medical intervention, are you going to die, right? Or is it, are you going to be at higher risk of side effects and death? And if you look at the risk of side effects in Pfizer's own phase three trial, right, you can see that there's a tremendous amount of side effects in the trial, and a lot of them were covered up, like with Maddie DeGray, you know, the 12-year-old girl who's basically paralyzed and just getting worse. She was reported as abdominal pain. A lot of funny business happened in the trial. We know that something like 10% of the data in the trial, 10% of the patients, it was being run by a company that there was a lot of funny stuff going on. There was a whistleblower saying that, that the patients were unblinded. You know, they were supposed, it was supposed to be double blind. You know, the doctors don't know who has the drug and the patients don't know whether they got the drug. That data was unblinded. So doctors did know. The charts were labeled, you know, and the doctors could see who had gotten the drug. And people who had symptoms, you know, or side effects, they didn't follow up with them, you know. So this, we know already that one of the companies that was, you know, outsourced to run the Pfizer trial was biased or corrupt or whatever. I mean, they just weren't doing a good job, you know, whatever the reason was. And they've been actually retained by Pfizer for their next trial, the same exact company. And so the, none of this could happen without the complicity of the corporate media, right? So basically, at the end of the day, everyone has to realize that the real people who own everything. They have their hands in everything. So their interests are always going to be, you know, backed up by some, you know, one corporation or another. They're all working together in lockstep to benefit their owners, right? So you look at BlackRock, you look at, you know, these giant, you know, companies
Vanguard,
that manage the funds for billionaires. Yeah, Vanguard and all of these. So at the end of the day, the owners are the same. Everyone, you know, the rich people have their fingers in every business, every industry. And that's why you see all these industries kind of working in lockstep. And this is really, it's fascism. You know, you got to call it out for what it is. It's the corporations have controlling our government now. And it's been going on for years, like your last caller was saying. It's not just in medicine, it's in every industry, although in medicine it's just so outrageously, you know, advanced and so bad because, I mean, it's just out there for everyone to see that, you know, the medical, the pharmaceutical companies pay the FDA. They, you know, they pay the FDA to regulate them, which is ridiculous. I mean, how can you anyone imagine that would be unbiased?
No doubt. Well, that's insanity to me. Dave in New York, you are on the phone with Dr. Syed Haider. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Just a quick update on 6.160 in mid-state New York. It's not coming in. Just
okay.
So you know that heads up. Top.
All right, so you're not able to get it at all. Okay.
No. The Dr. Haider, diatomaceous earth and distilled water, would that help bind these toxins as they come out during the healing crisis?
So it's certainly possible. I know that that's been used in functional medicine for a lot of toxins. The biggest problem I have with trying to guide people on the toxins that are in the vaccine is that we don't know what's in the vaccine. You know, so that's my biggest problem with the vaccine manufacturers, that they're not telling us everything that's in there. But whether or not that would specifically work for like graphene oxide and different things like that, I don't know. That's beyond my expertise. And I think that the people who are going to be the ones who help us figure this out are going to be the people who took the vaccine and have side effects from it. You know, they're the kind of similar to long haul COVID. It's kind of like a long vaccine illness. And those people are the ones that we're going to be able to study and figure out. If I give them C60, if I give them diatomaceous earth, or if I give them, you know, coffee enemas, does that improve their symptoms? Because that would say, that would indicate that we are getting rid of the actual toxins that have triggered their symptoms in the first place.
Yeah, the graphene oxide is actually in the atmosphere now, so I don't know as though going outside anymore. It's not like it was back, you know, in the 1800s or whatever. And, you know, I've seen the changes around here just on the ice. Almost impenetrable at times which just came through on a storm runner. It was really hectic to get that stuff off of your car. I've walked out with a the Axtrax on level ground and almost falling down on my backside. And, you know, that's another thing, because you keep yourself clean when you get, try to stay away from this moisture and stuff, especially the snow coming down. It comes down a little pellets now, I've noticed over the years, instead of, because it, the graphene oxide freezes quicker than regular watered wood.
Good observation there, Dave.
Hey, thank
appreciate
you guys very much.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate your call, and thanks for the heads up on that. Dr. Hyder, I realize graphene oxide is something that, you know, we weren't told. I know Dr. Andreas Nowak in Germany ended up dead at the hands of German police after he went viral with a video and a complete explanation on what graphene oxide does in these little microscopic razor blades running around in your brain, tearing it up, causing blood clots. We've had doctors in during autopsy now that are reporting your blood is thick. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on. We know for sure that this is a bioweapon. But once again, we appreciate your heads up and your approaches to this in treatment. My go-to doc.com, drsyedhyder.com. The ebook is on our website at thepowerhour.com. We want you to invest in that. And once again, Dr. Hyder, I appreciate you being on the show. And hopefully sometime in the near future, we can touch base again, take more of their calls and get some more data as the data unfolds. And once again, thank you so much. Success with this and your peace, safety, and hedge of protection around your practice, too, because I know these state medical boards, which need to be gone after, are doing harm in following the CDC protocols if they're not working. So we appreciate your time and your effort and your energy here on the Power Hour. And thank you so much again for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. And hopefully we'll see you at a Clay Clark event coming up. Once again, folks, we're out of time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. It's been wonderful. I hope you learned a few things today. Decision-making processes are always so much so in this day and age. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.